Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Did you hear what I said, Russ? Let's roll it out.
Pay attention here, okay?
Pay attention, okay? I know that phone of yours, you're like my kids. It's your lifeline, huh? That
yeah,
phone.
It is, unfortunately. Yeah.
You never went to, you were down this weekend visiting your son in what town?
Charleston.
Charleston. You'd never been there before? How was it?
Oh my God, it's so incredible. First time I've ever been there. I've never seen, first of all, the architecture, the history is incredible if you're into that. And then the city is beautiful right on the water, but I've never seen so many bars, restaurants, and churches in one place. Oh my God. My head was spinning.
Bars, restaurants, and churches. What a combo.
Yeah,
I know. So when you're feeling bad about yourself getting hammered, you can go to church.
Yeah. Paris went to church on Sunday, and it was the first, I believe it was the first black church in the United States, but it's freaking old. And it was where that horrible shooting was, where that killed 11 people. But she went and enjoyed it. We loved the city. Lawton's team won their first game. The Stingrays, they won 4-2, and the kid got two goals.
Shut it.
And second star.
No, Dad. Yeah. Were you crying? Yeah. You must have cried.
No, I was emotional. Up. I was emotional and in awe too. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is great. So we were sitting in the family section and it was quite exciting. Met some of the players' families around us and stuff. So it was great. It was a great visit all around, seeing him and hanging out and walking every day. I was walking between 6 and 9 miles every day. I get up every morning and cruise the city, get a coffee and walk around and look at all the sights. And, you know, in the afternoon and night, we suck back some oysters and have a couple of drinks. It was great. Sure.
We saw a picture of you. You look thin. Are you down or up? I've put on five. I was thin. I put on 5 to 10.
I'm not aware. I don't weigh myself. I'm more by the clothes. And people have been saying, you look thin. But I've put on a few pounds. I can tell. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm going with it. And I'm walking a lot. And I ran it. So funny thing that happened to me while I was there. Mm-hmm. I don't get recognized too often, especially in the United States and at my age, been out of the league a long time, all that. So I'm walking down Charleston.
You used to have the flow, right?
Yeah. Got the glasses and gray hair, losing my hair. Anyways, I'm walking down the street with Paris, King Street, the busiest street in Main Street in Charleston.
Yeah.
And this guy goes, "Hey, Russ, I love the podcast." I was so freaking blown away. I was shock. Yeah, so it was cool. And Bizzle is his nickname. And he is the manager for Thor Vaughn, the comedian.
Oh.
And another guy. And they were on the road. And he's from Windsor, typical. It's a Canadian, right? In the United States. Of course, he's a Canadian. And he lives in Nashville. And just a great guy. And so I found out quickly he's a great guy because we have a mutual friend in Scotty Upshaw and Shane O'Brien. And so we started, you know, of course, group texting. And I sent that picture and stuff. And
It's a great picture.
And, yeah, and I would have got together with them for a couple of drinks, but they were on the road, like I said, and anyways, met the two comics and my sons heard of them and watched you know, their shows and stuff. So anyways, right. that was a weird thing that happened to me while I was there, and that stuff doesn't happen to me that often. So I was like, what?
Yeah, that's a great story. It reminds me of back in the days. And by the way, if I miss anything since COVID, I really miss doing live gigs. You know, I've done them my whole adult life, and I just love doing them. I love emceeing gigs. I've done hundreds over the years. You know, including one of the greatest events ever was yours, Russ, that I did a couple times. But I really miss it. You know, and. In the day when you're talking about, you know, getting recognized and, you know, when I got in that radio show with Stevie, when we did that, it went gangbusters, you know. Wow. the ratings were high and we got to be well known around the city, and it's just a big ego fuck, yeah, is what it is. Yeah. Right. And
it's fun.
And, you know, people are asking for your pictures. I'm nowhere near what you were, but I remember it. I remember doing a gig in Ottawa. Right when the show was rolling, it was a curling event. It was the Brier, the men's national championship. And I walked off the stage and there was four or five people there saying, can I get a picture?
Total? Four or five, yeah, total?
Well, there was hordes, really, but I was only allowing four or five in at a time.
Okay. No, I meant at the show.
And someone, no, it was just 3,000 people. It was great, the bar, the beer garden. Anyway, and they said, can we get a picture, you know? And I was like, yeah, for sure. You know, my husband loved your show. Most of guys liked it. And we had some women listen to it because they hated their husbands or why they listened to it. Anyway, I remember going, sure. Yeah, I'll take a picture. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Get in here. You know, want me to sign something for you? You want an autograph? Right. And just when I was doing that, when I was acting like an idiot, my wife showed up. She came down and I was going, yeah. Yeah, I want that to Bobby there. Okay, there you go, Bobby. Let's get a picture. And my wife walked right in the middle of it and said, "Hey, moron, you've got laundry you have to do." Okay.
Oh no! Oh,
it was something sort of funny, but anyway, those were the days. Someone also asked me, Russ, before we get into the show, about what my favorite joke is of all time.
Oh, okay? Fuck. Please don't tell that one that you've worn out.
Now, is that a way to treat your co-host?
No. Okay.
This is, so my favorite joke of all time. Now, I'm not going to tell the one you want about the wheat or whatever. Right?
Which not that one. Which one? You told at Gretzky where you get the person on stage and they're like,
Don't say yes or no.
Yeah, don't say yes.
Yeah, no, you hate that game.
But God, I hate that.
Yeah. I can't Takes believe forever. You hate that. Everyone loves that game. Anyway,
no, they don't. They don't like it.
They do like it. Yeah,
they
do
don't.
Like it. Dustin Johnson didn't like it. I brought him up, and he looked at me, and I said, "Okay, don't say yes or no." And he punched me in the bag as hard as he could. Yeah, and that was the end of that. So I love going down to the Maritimes. You and I, that's one of our first great events together.
Yeah,
I stayed up all night when you guys got off the plane. But I love it. I love going to Newfoundland, and I love the Newfs. They're just unbelievable people. The most honest, down to earth people. And and they love telling the jokes, right, about themselves, the Newfs. So I will tell you this then. This is my favorite all time joke. Okay. So Newfoundland was the last province, Rusty. This is true. To join Canada, okay, to join Confederation. They didn't want to do it. They were holdouts. And that they were finally convinced when everyone told them, you got to join because of this massive healthcare program that we have, okay? It's free, right? It's free, so you got to join. Yeah. And the Newf said, what do you mean it's free, Shmi? Tell me. Yeah, it's free. Anything you want, it's free. And so they said, okay, we're going to join. We're joining up. We got the free healthcare, right? So they join up. The guy gets his health card in the mail and he runs to the doctor and he goes screaming in there, waving his card. He goes, healthcare, schmealthcare, free schmee. okay. And she goes, yeah, how can we help you there, Bob? He goes, I want a castration. I want it right now. And she goes, you don't want it. He goes, I want a castration. I want to see the doctor. He's screaming and yelling, I want a castration. The doctor says, okay, we'll do it, right? So he gets the operation done the next day, and he wakes up in bed, and he's in terrible pain, and he's rolling around, and there's a guy in the room, in the bed beside him, you know, and he's just screaming with pain. He's going, good God, you know, and he asks the guy beside him, he goes, what are you in here for, right? And the guy goes, circumcision. He goes, that's the word. Jesus. That is my circumstance. That's the freaking word. Anyway, that's God bless those guys. That's one of my favorites. Speaking of shows, Rusty, we've done so many, and people have come to know a bit about you and me being a little emotional from time to time. And,
sorry about that last week.
No, don't. You never apologize, Rusty. Never apologize, especially to me. You know what I'm like with the tears.
Well, I was saying sorry to anyone who's listening.
No. It was great. Someone had asked a question because I want to read you some responses to that or one anyway for sure. So someone we took questions last week. We do it from time to time, and one of them was, Russ, what's your biggest challenge to overcome? And you talked about the death of your dad when you were 13 years old. And we've had a ton of response to it. But here's one of my friend of mine, Terry, over in the Middle East. He said, I just listened to the podcast for the second time this week. Please tell Russ, thank you from me for being so open, transparent, and so very real. For me, the last 15 minutes of that podcast were the best of any podcast that I've ever heard.
Wow.
So there you go, Rusty. If you think you need to apologize, and he goes on to say, I'll fill you in one day what it means to me or what it meant to me. So anyway, well done, Rusty. So thanks, pal. Great. We had a bunch of emails like that from people, and keep your questions coming. Go to the website, suspendables.com, and drop us a line. I'm pausing, Rusty, for the email address. What's Jesus? How many shows? 130 shows.
Suspendables@yahoo.com.
Oh, you got to leave that in. You got to leave that in.
I can't believe that. I don't write it down, man.
Or tattoo it on your hand.
There's my favorite joke. Yeah, there's my favorite joke right now. Jerome not remembering the email.
Went to school, just eat his lunch, man. Jimmy Jerome.
Hockey's underway. I wasn't sure what we're going to do on the show today. We've a couple of our guests have gone dark. If I can reel in Brett Hull, okay, it will be a miracle.
Oh my God. Would you quit bringing up Hully's name?
No, I'm teasing. It's called a good radio tease.
Yeah.
Here's a tease. He's not coming on.
Yeah. I read something today, a great hockey, funny hockey quotes, and Hully's first training camp in St. Louis, the doctor said during the fitness test, they said, please, Hully, raise your arms as high as you can. And he goes, is that as high as you can raise them? And he goes, yes, and I will raise them 60 more times this year.
For goals. For scoring goals. Yeah, people forget how good he was, right? Because he played in the era of Gretzky and Mario. You played against him. He was, he was phenomenal. But his greatest quote, and he's very quotable. Okay, he's very quotable. That's why I'm really persevering here to get him on, because I'm kind of nervous when I'm around him. Like, it just
you got to be on your toes.
You got to be on your toes, man.
Oh my God.
I say he's got the acerbic wit. He's very fast. He's very fast.
Very honest.
Very honest. Like I said,
I don't play golf with him because I'm so shitty. Like at Gosser, he was a member for years. And sorry to cut you off, but he would say, Rusty, why don't you play golf with her? We play every day. We play at this time. Why don't you play? And I'm like, no, I got the kids. I always had an excuse. And then finally one day he says, Russ, why don't you play with us? And I go, because I'm the shits. And, yeah. And I didn't finish the rest of it, but I didn't want to play with him because I was like, he's so freaking good.
Right.
And he just, I know he would say, why aren't you better? Why aren't you better? You're an athlete, hockey player. You should be a better golfer.
Right.
So I didn't play with him.
He's brutally honest. Yeah. He doesn't mince words. One of my favorite all-time quotes of all athletes was Brett Hull when they asked him about hockey. And he said, I don't like hockey. I don't like hockey. I just happen to be good at it. What a quote. What a freaking quote.
Oh, my God. God, he, there's so many. I can't wait for him to come on the show because he's just got so many great stories. I remember my brother and him would go, they were playing together in St. Louis, and they would go out for great dinners. And Jeff wanted to take him to this favorite sushi place that I loved in LA and still go to today called Shibuya. And it's out in the valley and it's phenomenal. And Jeff and Holly go to play golf at Sherwood, and he goes, oh, Russ knows this sushi place. So my friend takes him to Shibuya, and he calls me halfway through dinner and he goes, do you know how much sushi these guys have eaten so far? And I'm like, no. And he goes, they've eaten 50 pieces so far. So that's 25 orders because they come in twos. Between the two of them, he said afterwards they had about 40 to 50 orders each. I mean, Jesus. It's insane. They're like two seals at the end of the bar.
These are remarkable guys.
He is. Lovable. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. But
yeah, he lovable.
Is so freaking. You got to be ready, man. You got to be ready, and you got to have thick skin.
And funny. And funny, man. Drop dead funny. Well, when you guys showed up there in Halifax at the gig, he was there.
Yeah.
That was the event where Wayne and Mario and Brett played against Mike Weir. And I remember sitting at the bar. There were some long days, you know, long days, long nights. And this way I can explain, Brett, you think he's going to have a punchline with something he says, but sometimes it just doesn't have it. And the great example was he's sitting at the bar. And it's about 1:30 in the morning. There's a great scene in Halifax where there's five bars all attached. I forget what they call it, but they're all interlinked to walkways.
Drunk.
Anyway, we're at this one that's jam-packed. And someone comes up to him and says, hey, excuse me, Brett, can I get your autograph? And he turned around and went, no. And I'm waiting for him to give it the just kidding or something like that. And he just turns back and... there's no punchline.
Yeah, no punchline. Just leaves the guys hanging.
Yeah, he's fun. Speaking of great players, one of the books that I would love to read, Mark Messier is coming out with a book. It may be the one I do read, Russ. I know you don't very much, but it's called No One Wins Alone. Would you read it, Rusty? Are you going to have a look at it?
Like you said, I don't read a lot of books. I should probably start. I read quite a few of the quotes already.
What do you think?
Well, Mess's story is going to be great. I mean, he's such an interesting, wonderful guy. And the one thing he said, if he had a do-over in Vancouver, he wouldn't have taken the captaincy.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Not weird because, when you have a player like that and they come in, like Gretz comes into a team, everybody expect, let's just make him the captain. And, you know, when he got to New York, he was like, Mess is our captain.
Right.
You know, like the media started talking, you know, is Wayne going to become the captain? Or so there's times when it's the right time. And then there's times when it's not, you don't always have to wear the C to be the leader either. So
yeah,
I've had guys in my teams, a couple teams that I felt were, equal to or greater than the captain we had. So,
right. He was scary, Russ. You were on the ice. You told that great story about grabbing him from behind in a scrum. But everyone always talks about how frightening he was on the ice, Russ. Dirty, but absolutely controlled every hockey game he ever played in. What are your memories of that?
Playing with him? He was definitely intimidating, but, you know, he never, he never was dirty towards me. He did knock out Mike Modano in a Dallas game with a beautiful elbow. I don't even think he got a penalty for. But very, very competitive, like just the ultimate competitor, and every shift was, you know, go out there and he was just trying to score or you know, do something, change the game.
Right.
In the locker room, he was awesome. He had control of the room, you know. He wasn't always talking, but when he talked, he listened. Very much like Bob Gainey was a lot quieter, but very similar. I would compare those two as similar leaders. When Bob spoke, everybody was ready to do whatever he asked, and same with Mark.
That wouldn't be you or I when we spoke. They go, oh, shut up, you guys. You never
should. Yeah. Quit complaining. Quit complaining. Shut up.
Yeah.
No, he had an impact. And one of the funniest things was, you know, everybody now, I've told this story before, but everybody now juggles the soccer ball before as a warm-up. And it was just starting in 1997, I guess, when I was playing in New York. I got traded to New York Rangers, and they're out juggling the ball. A couple of the Swedish guys, a couple of the English guys, meaning the Canadian English guys, and a couple of the American guys. So you've got this like six players, maybe two Americans, two Canadians, two Swedes. Mm-hmm. Or a Russian player. I can't remember, but it was a mixture, right? So it's from every country that represents our team is out there before the game, and they're juggling the ball. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen that before, but okay.
Right.
So everybody's doing their own thing. You know, some get coffee, watch TV, stretch, tape your sticks, whatever. Everybody's got a routine. So this is their routine, and we either lose the game in the playoffs or we didn't play well. I think we might have lost. And Mark blamed the guys juggling the soccer ball for the reason why we lost after, when he snapped on everybody, how we weren't prepared to play the game. And you got fucking guys out there playing with a goddamn soccer ball in the hallway. Well, that's now so every team does it. That was one of the funnier things when he got mad. And now is a staple on every hockey team. How many times you can juggle the ball before you go put your skates off.
That is so funny. That'd be him for sure.
Yep, oh, fuck. He snapped. He snapped.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
So, Rusty, we're into the year, into the hockey season now. Well, not well in, but we're 5-6. I guess teams are probably playing their seventh game already.
Well into it, numbskull.
Do you say that's well into it? That's why, because I want to ask.
No.
Oh, it's not. Okay. You know what? Now you're making me nervous. I'm so nervous. Sometimes you get in these crusty freaking moods, and no matter what
I say. I'm in a good place. I'm a happy guy today.
So your team, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Just dealing with you, that's all.
As Joe Namath would say when he was drunk in the interview. Struggling. Did you ever see that interview of Joe Namath when he was hammered? That was the best.
Was that on, was he spoken on Johnny Carson?
No. It was a sideline interview with a female reporter. Stevie might even be able to find it.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
They're struggling.
Yeah.
So poor Joe didn't live it down. If you're the GM, Russ, because it drives me bananas, but maybe I'm wrong. You know, where teams, fans, writers, columnists, journalists, sports guys, desks, all those creeps.
Moms, dads.
I'm kidding. Where they start to call for, oh my God, what's happening with our team? What has happened?
Oh yeah.
And is it fair enough to say, Russ, do you want to look at 20 games in, Russ, 10, 15 before we start to look at, we got to make some changes?
Well, it's different today because, the teams are so freaking good, and the race to make the playoffs is so tight. So you don't want to have a bad stretch, because it's tough to get in. I always say now that if you get in one of the 16 teams in the playoffs, you have a chance to win the cup. And that wasn't always the case.
Right.
So right. You cannot afford to have a 20-game stretch where you're not playing well. 10 games, might get away with a bad 10-game stint. Start. But after, yeah. Or period, like, you could be halfway through the season. I'm talking 10 game segments. You've really, I think a bad 10 game segment would be like 4-6. But if it's worse than that, man, that's hard to recover from. You know, you want to be probably 500 hockey at worst in a short period of time.
Say you're the GM of the Leafs. Everyone's freaking out. I don't know what they are, 1-4 or something like that. 1-5. When you see that start, Russ, what do you start to think about? What the general manager start to think of something? Coaches, like the coach for Toronto came out and said, they'd asked him about maybe their fourth line guys got to get going. And he said, no, how about Marner and Matthews?
Wow, good for him.
Kind of threw them under the bus in a press conference.
Well, they had no points between two of them. And of course, if they were doing what they were, that we know what they can do, and they were still losing, then he wouldn't need to say that, would he? So, for whatever reason, they're off to slow starts. So are the Leafs. So you got to put it on the shoulders of the two best players on your team. And he's not wrong. It sucks when that happens. Nobody wants that. I wouldn't and didn't want it. But we all, over the course of our careers, are going to get in shit for not playing well. And the Leafs, because they're the Leafs and they're the hotbed of the media market, they're under the microscope. So all will be forgotten if they light it up and start playing well. But when you're 1-4 or 1-5 and you've got a great group of players, of course, everyone's going to go, what the hell's going on?
Are you going in there as a GM to sit down with the coach and go, hey, what's happening here? I need to know.
They sit down every day. They talk every day. They're talking morning, noon, and night. So,
oh, they do? Okay.
The GM goes in the coach's office almost after every game.
I never knew that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you'll see the GMs run out of their skybox, you know, and where they're going is straight to the coach's office, and they rate the players, they talk about the game, they talk about player, they talk about, you know, if there's an injury, okay, who are we calling up? I mean, it's a real team effort. Those two guys are talking all the time. When they don't, when they stop talking, then there's a problem.
You're gonna lose.
The coach is gonna get fired probably.
Right. When he doesn't rip in there after a game. Where's the GM?
Yeah.
Russ, if you were telling a young kid, we talk about this a lot, young kids coming into the game.
Study hard.
Well, I was going to ask you, would you, because I have written down here, do more NHL players come through the college system or through junior hockey?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, there's obviously we can find out, but it's a great, for me, and say my example with my son, it's great because he's still playing hockey. He's a second-year pro. Right. He had 4 years of college. And, you know, for a late bloomer, college is great because you can start playing at 20, where the major junior hockey leagues end at 20. And then you can continue on if you haven't lost your eligibility. If you play in certain leagues, I don't know if that still stands, but the WHL where I played, as soon as I played one game or had one practice or whatever, I couldn't go to college. So it's great for late bloomers and kids who want an education. Like Lawton's got a degree now in marketing and business.
Right.
And so it's a wonderful route, but if you want to just focus on hockey and play you know, at the major junior level, you can do that and then go to Canadian college after and continue to play hockey. We've seen a few guys come through the Canadian collegiate league. So Hockey can take you in a lot of ways, and it depends on the kid. If he's a good student and he's a good hockey player, he should definitely consider it. If he's struggling in school and he's playing hockey, maybe college isn't the best route because it's right. tough. I mean, my daughter, I talked to her today at USC, and she's playing soccer, and they went away for 3 or 4 days for 2 games in Washington, which they tied both games. And she's writing a test or an exam on the road. She's studying, and she just told me today how hard it is. And I think mm-hmm. for an athlete and a student, to be a student athlete, it's a commitment. It's a lot of work. So
right.
just depends on the kid. It really depends what kind of student he is and what kind of player he is and where he's at. And if he's ready for pro at 18, 19, I would say he's playing major junior hockey. He's probably not going to go to college.
What was your son's path then, leading up to college?
So he went to, at 14, he went to Notre Dame in Saskatchewan where I went. So he left California.
Yeah.
And went there, played a year at Bantam, came home, played played here for 1 year. So played with the first year midget, I guess. And yeah. second year, he went to Omaha and played for ex-NHL guy, David Wilkie. He's an excellent coach. And then he
junior went. Junior B team or something?
No, still midget. And then he yeah. went to the, he got drafted into the USHL, which yeah. is a great junior hockey league in the United States. 95 or 99% of those kids all get college scholarships. So he played 3 years in that league and then went to Western Michigan for 4 years, played last year in Wheeling in the East Coast League. And this year he's in Charleston, same league, East Coast Hockey League. So he's 25.
Right.
And who knows? You know, if he doesn't, if it works great and he fulfills his dream and makes it to the NHL, great. And if he doesn't, then he has this degree he can fall back on and use. So
what are you telling these young kids, Russ, to make it to the NHL? It's tough to, you know, because it's your own son. But I'm thinking the start, you know, that we just talked about, you know, GMs and coaches first 5, 6, 7 games of the year. When you came in, Russ, to the league, how does it work on teams, Russ, with rookies and veterans? Does the coach go to the veterans and say, okay, I'm assigning you guys, you know, each one of you veteran guys is going to look after a rookie? Is it like that, Russ? Or
the good veterans do look after the rookies. So there's nobody coming and tapping guys on the shoulder and say, do this, do that. So the veterans, good or bad, teach the rookies good or bad. And then that, you know, it's just like anything. So you get these great veterans that take care of the young guys. And then when they're veterans, they take care of the young, and then it just keeps going. And so it's a learned
it's a good
thing.
Cycle. Right?
Yeah. It's a good cycle. Anyways, that's just generally how it works is that, there's always guys that on each team that want to help out and look after a young guy. And then there's other guys that just, they're focusing on themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the guys I didn't like were the guys who were jealous and were, you know, trying to pull down somebody and mm-hmm. Not build them up because of their insecurities. Those are the guys I didn't have time for. But generally, hockey players are good guys and good people. And you've got all types in the locker room, and you've got the one or two funnier than shit guys that just are on nonstop. And then, you know, you've got quiet people and outgoing people. And anyways, mm-hmm. it's a great dynamic, the locker room. It's fun.
The Oilers were on the road last week. They played back-to-backers, Phoenix and Vegas. And I love getting to bring up my Oilers because they're 5-0. I think they play tomorrow night.
This is when we can all take a fucking bathroom break. Everybody,
next
2 minutes, we're going to hear about the Oilers.
No, I have a question for you. They talked about... They talked about, and for me, it's laughable. And I said, I got to ask Rusty this because I just think it's, well, I do think it's laughable when they said, and the Oilers are going to stay back here in Vegas for a few days to do some team bonding.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what do you mean team bonding? You're with each other all day long, every day.
You think it's funny, but it's true. And I'll tell you why, because there's so many distractions when you're at home. There's married guys with families. You've got players that have been in the city longer than others. So they got a lot of friends outside the team. And good so one. On the road, you have no distractions. You've got just the group of guys, and it's hard. And I'm sure with social media and cell phones and technology, it's even tougher to get guys away. But, whenever times were tough, some coaches would say, I can't wait to get everybody on the road. And then we're all just together and focused.
Sure. Yeah, good one.
Because okay. I think about you're in Edmonton or whatever city, after practice, boom, you're in your car and you're home. And you're like, everybody goes to their place. When you're on the road, you're staying in the same hotel. You're eating in the same restaurants. Groups of guys are hanging together and going to different places. And they're together. When they're at home, they're not together. They're only together when they're at the rink.
Gotcha.
And when they're at home, the young guys who are single, yeah, they stick together and hang out. But married guys got families. They want to get home to their kids and their wife. And if their parents are living with them or whatever, I mean, they've just got their own shit going on. And so that's why the road's a good place for team bonding.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. I know. It sounds funny because, we're going to stay behind in Vegas. I mean, we did this in Dallas. We played in Edmonton and Calgary. And Bob Gainey said, rather than fly back to Dallas, we'll stay in Banff for 3 days and have a little mini camp and fun, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And it was over Super Bowl. And we literally drank every Coors Light in Banff. Like we just went from bar to bar to bar. And it took us about a week to recover from those 3 days of bonding.
I was going to say, you must have some great bonding stories. I heard one of the great ones I heard, because I do this curling podcast now with Kevin Martin. One of the great ones I heard was that a hockey team, there was a curling event going on, not in the same arena, but it was going like next door and on the arena, and they all busted in and started riding the rocks, like sitting on the rocks going like, cause they're big, heavy freaking things. Yeah. And they were like, they almost killed themselves. They would have guys sitting on the rock, rock down there. Yeah, pushing them. Well, then we're going to push another guy. It was,
Smash up derby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With 45 pound chunks of granite. You must have some bonding stories. Yeah.
I did an event with Kelly Chase and Drumheller. And I think it was Drumheller. Where's the town that's in Saskatchewan and Alberta?
Either Lloydminster or Wainwright.
Lloydminster. Yes. Lloydminster.
Lloyd's right on the border. Yeah. Right.
So we go up there to Lloydminster for a fundraiser for the junior team, and it's at the arena, and Chaser gets up and does his stick, and then he gets me up there and we tell stories and they paid us to go there. It was a fun event. And then, the junior team was there with all the sponsors and corporate stuff. And we're up above the rink in this bar restaurant overlooking the hockey rink.
Yeah.
And the lights were dimmed down and everybody's just pounding the beers. I mean, it's a shit show. It is so much fun. And typical hockey players, three of the junior players went down to their locker room.
Yeah.
In the middle of the party, didn't tell anybody, and came out butt naked, skating around with their sticks, gloves, and skates on. And that was it. Oh, my God.
Nice one, fellas.
It was freaking priceless. I was like, that's what guys and hockey players do. Yeah.
And then, your brother always talked about, is it Bergevin that he played with?
Bergevin.
Now the GM in Montreal?
Yeah.
What's your story, by the way? Speaking of that, you said you had some news about Montreal.
Yeah, right after I told there's big news coming from Montreal, and when it comes, so we'll talk about it.
Well, right after you said that last week, and of course I'm curious, they started floating a story about the LA Kings trying to steal away Bergevin from Montreal.
Who was talking about that?
It was on online, right, Stevie? We pulled the story up. Anyway. Tom Brady, Rusty, another note here to ask my boy Russell Cardinal. Throws his 600th touchdown.
Yeah.
Sets, you know, it's a historic. First guy to do it, get to 600. Evans is the guy who catches the ball, gives it away. Russ walks out the end zone.
Oh, my God.
Flips the ball to a fan, and he doesn't realize what it is. Gets back to the bench, and they're going, dude, that was his 600th pass.
Yeah.
They send a guy over there, some guppy from the sideline. They send over, and somehow this guy, like I said, Russ, he should be a hostage negotiator because this guy gets the football back from the kid.
Yeah.
Okay, on the spot, gets it. The kid gladly gives it over at the time, and now we're finding out it's worth 500 to 750 grand. One of the auction houses weighed in and said this thing is minimum half a mil. And now the kid's left sitting there with no football. And as of today, they gave him a couple of signed jerseys, a helmet, some cleats. They gave him $1,000 voucher, I guess, for merch. I don't know. I'm hearing now a story that maybe Brady gave him 65 grand worth of Bitcoin or something.
Yeah. Bitcoin, one Bitcoin. Yeah.
What do you think of all that? The funny thing was Brady.
I was the kid.
Yeah. Well, Brady says, so they interview, they can't get to Brady quick enough, right?
Oh yeah.
To say, come on, you're worth zillions. Yeah. The ball's worth half a mil. Yeah. Maybe shoot the kid that or something. You should buy it as a collector. They interview him on the Peyton and Eli Manning have a show now that they
it's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. And they brought Tom Brady on to talk about that. And Brady unpredictably goes, yeah, you know what? The idiot gave up his right to it when he handed it over to the guy.
Ouch.
He did. And I think he was being funny, but what would you do, Russ? What would you do if you're Tom Brady?
I would have kicked that receiver in the nuts.
You moron. Anyway.
Oh, my God. That would be like, you know, Marty McSorley throwing the Pac Gretz's goal that he just broke Gordie Howe's record. Go, here, kid. Here's the puck.
Little something for you. Yeah. Here's his gloves. Here's the skates.
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't think we've heard the end of this story. I think it's going to keep growing.
Yeah. I think,
cause if the kid had the ball and he got talked out of the ball and he's getting all this stuff, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's tricky.
Yeah.
I don't think we've heard the end of it.
Okay. Rusty, before we go, I think it's atrocious. I'm looking at the hit Ovi against the Ottawa Senators. I think he absolutely runs this guy into the boards and jumps, and I think he should be suspended. But people would be more interested in what you have to say about that than me. What do you think?
So you just sent me the video on my little phone here, and I'm watching it. And I believe that the guy going back for the puck looks over his right shoulder at Ovi, so he knows he's there.
Yeah.
Ovi stops skating at the top of the circles. So he's coasting. And then he puts his arms on his back and pushes him into the boards. And I don't think that's a suspendable hit.
Is it a penalty at least? The ref.
The guy saw him at the face-off dot.
Yeah.
Right there. He sees him. So he looks over, he sees him, he goes to the puck, he turns side, he's kind of turning sideways, and Obi just coasts and pushes him. And that's what happens when you're 6'3", 245 pounds or whatever he is. He just manhandled the guy. I don't think it's that bad. I don't.
Are you kidding me?
And the guy, yeah, but again, my phone, it's so small that I don't really, you know, I can't see the close-up of the guy,
he slams him into the boards.
Yeah, I know, but the guy gets up. The guy gets up right away.
Yeah, no, he wasn't hurt.
No,
he wasn't hurt.
I don't think it was. There's no intent of hurting the guy. He coasted from the top of the circle. The guy saw him, and then he just got, you know, it's on him too. It's on you. When you're getting hit, when you're going back for a puck, you got to have your head on a swivel and look. You can't just assume nobody's going to hit you.
Give you a nudge.
I mean, that's how strong he is. So holy shit. He's a freaking, he's a beast. Oh, yeah. I love him.
And he's on fuego. He's scoring goals.
I love him. He's so, you know, when he just loves, he loves scoring and he loves seeing his teammates score. And
yeah,
he's a guy I'd love to hang out with.
Breath of fresh air, man.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's just, this is who I am. And there's no, I'm not pretending to be anybody else. Like he speaks his mind. He's having fun. He's great for the game.
And of course, you were long gone from the game when he came on, right?
He came in about 30 pounds after I retired. I got heavy there for a while. Whoa.
Yeah, you did. You were a fat fuck for a little while. But I was good now. You look good.
As Bergie said, when he saw me in Calgary at a charity thing for it was a retirement thing. And he goes, did you get stung by a bee?
Oh, no. Fuck. No, yeah. Nice one.
As my buttons were popping on my suit.
Yeah. Or as the old joke goes, Russ, you were throwing out clothes or going to give clothes away to the needy. And your wife said, Paris said, just throw them out, you know, who cares? And you said, no, there's many starving people that could use these clothes. And Paris said, anyone who fits into your clothes, Russ, is not starving. Starving.
I had a buddy. I have a buddy, Dave DeLucia.
Yeah.
And he's his wife and him are dating. And they're hitting it off and he's doing well and she's I guess doing pretty good herself, but
what do you mean, money wise or something?
Like they're young and they're doing well. Yeah. And in the stock market business. And she said something over dinner, like, are you any questions or concerns? And he said, well, you know, the only concern I have whenever I date is just, you know, staying away from gold diggers. And she goes, well, if I was digging gold, it wouldn't be in your direction.
very good. Okay. Be nice to me now, Russ, next week. Okay. You're kind of me.
What? I was nice today.
I know you were. That is nice for you.
I was late. Sorry. We had first world problems at our house. Paris bought a new mattress.
The truck showed up.
It showed up in new mattress. The base didn't fit in the bed, so they had to take it apart.
You've worn out your mattress?
No. There's this.
sure haven't.
Yeah. No. I might occasionally snore. So she's got this thing. She got this. It's called sleep number or something where you lift it when your spouse is snoring. You get a button and it gradually lifts up. It's supposed to stop you from snoring.
Oh, good luck with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, good luck for her. I'm sleeping fine.
You're going to be in another room. I can't believe
you don't need new mattress. That might be it. You know what? This might be it.
Just go to the other room, man. Your life may be over as we
mark this day. Hey, I'm sleeping fine.
Mark this day. Oh, Jesus. drop us a line. I want your opinion on Russ's opinion of that hit on Ovi.
Yeah.
Okay, we'd love to hear from you and that and much more. Whatever you like. Go to the website, Spendables.com, for all the shows. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in this week. And we'll be back again next week, perhaps with a guest. Okay, it's time for a guest. Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. You take it easy, Russ. Go be nice to someone. Okay?
Hey. Be nice yourself. Okay.
We'll talk to you later, pal.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.